When you know your strengths, goal setting can become more strategic and aligned, meaning tied to a bigger vision and based on what is energizing and exciting to you, which can obviously build more confidence when it comes to setting goals.
Welcome to Elite Achievement, the podcast for high-performing business owners and leaders. I'm Kristen Burke, your coach and host. Together, we'll unpack the stories, mindsets, and habits of top achievers and explore how to turn ambition into remarkable results. If you're ready to maximize your potential and elevate your success, let's make it happen. Are you spending too much time trying to fix weaknesses when your greatest growth might actually come from focusing on your strengths? In today's episode, I'm joined by my coach, Lindsay Schmidt, a Gallup certified strengths coach and the founder of Right Hand Consultants. Lindsay specializes in helping high performers uncover and apply their natural strengths so they can lead more intentionally, make better decisions, and grow their businesses in ways that are both strategic and sustainable. Lindsay offers a behind the scenes look at my own strengths and how they influence the way I coach, lead, and scale my business. But this conversation goes far beyond personal insight. We explore how self-awareness shapes the way high achievers set and pursue goals, how to create growth that's aligned and sustainable, and why building a business around your strengths leads to more consistent momentum. Self-awareness isn't just a personal growth tool, it's a strategic advantage. Whether you're looking to scale your business, lead with more clarity, or build a business that aligns with how you work best, this conversation will help you align your strengths with your strategy. Welcome, Lindsay.
Kristen, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the warm welcome, and I'm excited to be here, and I look forward to our conversation. I think one thing I'd add at the front end here is I've had the unique pleasure of not only watching your growth journey, but also seeing how your strengths show up in such a powerful way for your clients. So I do look forward to this conversation.
I know you have been a fan of Elite Achievement for years. And in fact, it's how we got reconnected. I know we know one another from past corporate lives, but we reconnected several years ago when you reached out to me and said, "Hey, I've been listening to your podcast. I have a couple of ideas." And, you know, we jump on the call and you're offering ideas. And I said, "Great, I need to hire you as my coach." I don't even know if that was the purpose of our original connection, but it's been so wonderful to have your partnership in my business. And you provide so much structure. And I think by us working together, you've definitely helped me increase my strategic thinking skills. So I think you're going to give our listeners not only a ton of valuable content around strengths and how they can lean into their strengths and lead with their strengths, but you'll also give them a little behind the scenes inside scoop on me, the host of this podcast.
Sure, I'll do my best.
Well, let's start with, what does achieving elite success mean to you personally and professionally?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, elite success isn't about the accolades or the revenue. It's really about alignment and intentionality. And I know, actually, maybe that can sound a little cliche, but for me, it means living and working in a way that honors how I naturally operate and who I am at my core. So personally, that looks like showing up as the best version of myself for my family, my friends, and my community. It also means being really intentional about what I say yes to and equally what I say no to. And that clarity helps me stay grounded and focused. On the professional side, I think elite success is about helping others do the same, empowering them to lead with clarity, to build something that feels purposeful, and do it in a way that supports consistency and performance. So when we lean into our strengths, we create a rhythm that's not only effective, but it's also sustainable. So elite isn't just you get there and it's a one-time thing. To me, elite success is that consistent performance.
It's interesting you talk about what you say yes to and what you say no to. I know a lot of times my clients have difficulty with the boundaries, or they tend to say yes more often. Do you have a framework you use with what you say yes to or no to, or does it relate to knowing your strengths so well that you know what to say yes or no to?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, Kristen. Honestly, I think knowing my strengths as well as I do I start to think about, is this something that energizes me or is this mm-hmm. something that's going to drain my energy? But also how I use my time and prioritizing things toward the vision I have for myself and my business. I think setting those priorities as well and how I go about setting those is also one way in which I train myself and learn to say no more often.
Yeah. Well, and I love how you tie it back to vision, because vision is such a huge part of setting and achieving goals, which mm-hmm. I know we'll talk a little bit more about that in Absolutely. Just a moment. But what initially drew you to the StrengthsFinder framework, and why do you believe it's such a powerful tool for leaders and business owners?
Oh, I love this question. I've tried a lot of tools, and there are a lot of assessments out there. There's DISC, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, just to name a few, and they all have value. But Clifton Strengths is different. It's not just a personality snapshot. It's a robust development framework, as I like to call it. It gives people a language to articulate how they naturally think, feel, and behave. And that's really the definition of talent. And that's huge. When I first took the assessment, I was in a period of searching. This was back in my corporate role, trying to understand what fueled and energized me. Mm-hmm. And when I read my report, it was like this giant light bulb that went off. I saw how to start leaning into what I did well and focused less on what I lacked. And I think conventional development, depending on what type of role you're in, it's all about fixing weaknesses. And what I loved about the strengths, it's really focusing on what you do best. And that's somewhat of a mindset shift, but it's also a game changer. I think the second part of your question for leaders, this tool is incredibly powerful. I think the more leaders understand how they and their teams work best, it creates an environment of strong communication and engagement for their teams to thrive. And Gallup's research actually found that people who focus on developing their strengths or engage in strength-based development, they're more engaged, more productive, and significantly more fulfilled in their work and life. In fact, some great statistics are they're 3 times more likely to report an excellent quality of life and 6 times more likely to be engaged at work. So again, this shift is from focusing on fixing weaknesses to amplifying strengths, which when applied intentionally leads to exponential growth.
Yeah. So for our listeners who might be unfamiliar with the StrengthsFinder assessment, what specifically is it and how does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you a high-level overview of that. And I'll add in a layer here that I think is really important to speak further to your question around why is this an important tool for leaders and business owners? So first, let's start with some of the history with the Clifton Strengths. Some of you may know this as the StrengthsFinder. Mm-hmm. It was somewhat rebranded when Gallup took it over, now called the Clifton Strengths. So it's a research-based psychometric assessment developed by Gallup. It identifies your most natural patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving, or your raw talents, we'll call them. And there are 34 distinct talent themes. And your personalized results show how those themes rank, or it kind of gives this level of intensity and how they show up for you. And your report is unique to you. The top 10 are your dominant strengths, and they're how you naturally operate when you're at your best. These are your strengths in waiting, as I call them. And when you develop them intentionally, they become real performance drivers. So like I said, there's 34 talent themes. They are then grouped into 4 leadership domains. So there's strategic thinking, and notice I'll use the word how as I define these, but it's how you gather and process information. The influencing theme or domain, which is how you lead, persuade, and motivate others. Executing, which is how you turn ideas into action and how you get things done. And the last one, relationship building. This is all about how you connect with others and build trust. So in those 4 domains, those 34 talent themes are all structured below. And that's, again, how you go about either thinking strategically, influencing, executing, or building relationships. So, but what really sets, I would say, the Clifton Strengths apart is it's grounded in decades of research led by Don Clifton. He started asking the question, what if we focused on what's right with people and how do we do more of that? So he studied, what do successful people do differently? What do you think he learned, Kristen?
I think he learned that successful people focus on growing their strengths and hire other people for their weaknesses.
Exactly right. Yeah. What they learned is they invest in their strengths. Mm-hmm. So it sounds simple, but it's very profound. It doesn't mean, however, successful people ignore their weaknesses. It's actually quite the opposite. They're very highly aware of them, but they don't try to master what doesn't come naturally to them. Instead, they focus on doing more of what they do best and intentionally surround themselves with people who complement their blind spots. I guess I translate this as to like building a championship team, mm-hmm. right? You don't need a roster full of point guards if you're playing basketball, pitchers if it's baseball, or we're in draft season, so quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You need diverse roles, diverse talents, and a shared understanding of who brings what to the table. And the best leaders are those who build well-rounded teams rather than trying to become well-rounded individuals. Mm-hmm.
Lindsay, as you were sharing that, one of the things that stood out to me is that when you develop your strengths intentionally, they become performance drivers. And it makes me wonder, once you have this information from the Clifton strengths, what do you do with it? How can you use this information to either grow yourself, grow your teams, or grow your businesses?
Yeah, I think great question, Kristen. And there's so many ways. I think for starters, when you do get your report, read through it. Take that time to reflect. I like to encourage and coach individuals to really focus in on their top 10 and do some areas of reflection. Take a look at your top 5 strengths, then your top 10, and think about how those have shown up for you in the past. Going way back, even when you were a child, how did those strengths show up for you? And start to really create some self-awareness of how you've used these strengths and how you saw them in action from, you know, a small child to different roles you've been in and leading to the success that you're having to date. How did those talents and strengths come through? And how do you do more of that?
Yeah. If someone has not yet taken the Clifton Strengths assessment, what are a couple of reflection questions that will help them identify their strengths or natural talents?
That's a great question. I like to call these, and maybe I could just give you a couple examples of glimpses of talent questions is how okay. I'll call them. So when you think about some reflection, self-reflection questions, the intent is to uncover how someone might naturally think, feel, or behave when they're at their best. Mm-hmm. So let me give you some of these glimpses of talent questions. So one, think back to when you were a kid. What kind of tasks or topics have you always picked up quickly? Mm. Or what activities were you naturally drawn to? I think for me, I'll give an example. I like to do lemonade stands. Or when we go to the beach, I'd pick up shells and figure out how I'm going to sell them to others. I was in sports too, but I was always thinking about how do I package this and price this and create a business out of something that I wanted to sell to others.
That makes a lot of sense.
So that's one question to begin thinking about, right? What tasks or topics have you always picked up quickly? Or I'll go back to when you were a kid. What activities were you naturally drawn to? So the second one, when you feel most energized and engaged in your day, what kind of work are you doing? So think back to the last time you felt really good about leaving the office. What is it that you were focused on doing? Three, how do you naturally respond in group settings? Do you lead? Do you support or do you plan or question? How is it that you respond to others? And then another, I'll give you two more. What do people compliment you on? Even you don't think it's a big deal, right? Things that come naturally to us don't always come naturally to others. So you might not think it's such a big deal. I think of you on this podcast, Kristen. You're a natural communicator and you love to share new ideas and things with others. That doesn't come as naturally to me. And I'm really in awe of the work you're doing here. So for me to do a podcast, that would take a lot of energy from me in preparation. And so again, thinking about what do people compliment you on? And then the last one, how do you go about solving problems? Is it an intuitive type of approach that you take intuitively? Is it strategic or analytical? Again, how do you typically go about solving problems or even overcoming challenges?
Yeah, I think those are great questions. And as you ask the question, what activities were you naturally drawn to as a kid? Mm-hmm. It makes me think about how I used to have a playroom when I was younger. And my favorite thing to do was to play school. I don't know if that surprises you, knowing of the work that I do, but I loved it. I had a chalkboard. This dates me, right? I don't even think they have chalkboards in classrooms anymore, but I had like a chalkboard, and you know, my dad would get me books from the library that were, you know, old like textbooks or educational books, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite things. And then I think the question about what do people compliment you on is so powerful, because we often underestimate our impact, our value, the work that we do, and don't think it's a big deal. And sometimes people will talk about my coaching, and I'm over here thinking, wow, we're having a conversation. I'm asking you questions. I'm challenging you. And that for me is one of those I have to remember that doesn't come easily to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm curious, as we're thinking about strengths here, of course, it makes me think about setting and achieving goals, right? Because that's like my favorite topic in the world to talk about. How does knowing your strengths impact your ability to set and achieve meaningful goals?
Yeah. So you said ability, which is sort of the can you do it, right? Mm-hmm. I'd like to reframe that to think about how you do it, the how versus the can. And I think that's a key differentiator when it comes to leaning into your strengths. Again, when you look at your top talents, it's not, can you do those that are on the bottom of your list, right? Are they weaknesses? It's really not about those. Of course you can do it. It might take more energy and effort, but it's really about how you naturally go about doing that and how you achieve and set your goals that I think makes a big difference. So I guess to further answer your question, when you know your strengths, goal setting can become more strategic and aligned, meaning tied to a bigger vision and based on what is energizing and exciting to you, which can obviously build more confidence when it comes to setting goals and setting more meaningful goals of even higher performance. From an achievement standpoint, this is where the strengths can play a more active role with how you go about achieving your goals, right? So it's not whether you can, as I said before, achieve a goal. It's how you'll go about doing it. And strengths give you that blueprint for doing it in a way that's aligned and sustainable. So when you combine your strengths with those of others, whether it's staff, team members, or even a coach, your goals gain depth, creativity, and more traction. And this can be applied to not only goal setting, but also overcoming challenges as well.
Mm. So I love this reframe around how you go about doing it. And so knowing your strengths really allows you to create a better plan and a plan that you're going to follow through on. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate and fair to say?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Many of my clients are high performers and leaders, and I work with them a lot on helping them set and achieve their goals. So I'm curious, Lindsay, are there specific strengths that you have found correlate with higher performance in leadership and business ownership?
Yeah, great question. And you have such a focus, like client-centric focus. And I think my answer to that is yes and no. There's no single perfect strength, right? Great leaders come in many forms. Mm-hmm. That said, certain themes like strategic, command, achiever, or self-assurance show up in a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs. But I've worked with phenomenal leaders who lead with empathy, relator, and developer as well. So there isn't necessarily a secret sauce, but I would say if there is, it's more about self-awareness, knowing how to leverage your own talents and how to surround yourself with complementary strengths. That's really where the magic happens. And Kristen, I'm so glad you brought this up, this question around, are there certain strengths that show up in some over others? And specifically wanting to call out the influencing domain. Kristen, with your permission, I'd like to dig into your strengths report just a little, just to give listeners a little context of some of these strengths and how they show up for you.
Yes, you absolutely have my permission to dig into some of my strengths. I think it'll help our listeners have some examples or some context that they can learn from.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you for being open to that. Yeah. So strengths that fall in the influencing domain are actually some of the rarest and show up prominently in people like you, Kristen. So those strengths are often translate to powerful communication, presenting, and motivating others. Skills that are essential in leadership, especially in the entrepreneurial space. So you and I have reviewed and discussed your Clifton 34 report in depth and have, like I said before, a beautiful blend of talents with your top five being relator, significance, focus, achiever, not surprising, and futuristic. So looking at your top 10, five of your top 10 themes fall in the influencing category. Again, some of the more rare strengths that we see. I had the pleasure of seeing your strengths in action while you both grow and develop your business, right? As we have this coaching relationship, but also how they show up in the work you're doing with your clients. So from your one-on-one coaching to the planning days you're doing with network offices, I can see why you are sought out as a partner for many of your clients. So as you think about your top five, and let's just focus there first.
Sure.
How do these show up for you in the work with clients and in growing your business? So maybe let's just start with that relator theme.
Yeah. For me, relator, it's all about relationship. And I think this plays a huge role in how I coach. I genuinely care about my clients, and I want to understand what drives my clients, you know, what's getting in their way and what success means to them. I actually just the week we're recording the podcast, I had a conversation with a client how one of my favorite things is I'm often one of the first people clients will be able to tell and share when they're pregnant before they even go public. And that's such an honor, right? That's such an incredible, moment for us to be able to celebrate not only their professional wins, but also what's happening to them personally. And I think also part of Relator is being able to build trust quickly. I hope I create a space where clients feel very comfortable being able to open up. I'm thinking about a recent potential new client conversation, and she shared, wow, I told you more than I thought I would, or I shared more than I've shared with other people. And I think that space, being able to get vulnerable and deep, allows us to not just set goals or be accountable to our goals, but to truly unpack the limiting beliefs and the behaviors that are influencing what's going on our journey to achieve those goals.
100%. I think that particular theme too tends to show up in asking a lot of questions, mm-hmm. being naturally curious about others, mm-hmm. And having not a lot of friends at a high level, right? You get to know them at a deep personal level. And I think that's really important when it comes to a coaching relationship and really getting to know the full person so that you can really align their personal and professional goals as you move forward.
Yeah. Well, I think that's helpful too, because you're right about some deep friendships. And I've got, some of my best friends, we have been friends for years. And sometimes I get caught up in the comparison game and I'm like, I don't have enough friends, or I wish I had more friends. And it's helpful to say, okay, well, maybe that's not necessarily true. You like those deep friendships, the ones that you've had with, your girlfriends for years.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your futuristic and significance and those two theme pairings together. How do those show up for you in your coaching role?
Well, I've always had this desire to make an impact. And I think sometimes it's hard to articulate what that looks like, but I think that's the significance piece for me, is that I really want to be someone that helps others. I'm impactful. I'm making a big difference. And then futuristic keeps me focused on what's next. And remember, at one point in time, I was doing a leadership assessment, and I probably had to solicit feedback from a bunch of people who knew me. And one of the pieces of feedback I got from my dad is that I spend too much time in the future. Like, I'm spending too much time thinking about what's next. And I think that futuristic piece helps us think about vision, helps us think about long-term planning, helps us think about our purpose and our mission. And I think that might also be why I'm very, very blessed that some of my clients we've coached together for several years. I feel like it helps me grow along with my clients.
Agreed. I think you're, you know, the official definition of futuristic, right? If we're talking about just plain definitions, are one thing, but how it shows up for you may look very different. But just from a definition standpoint, you're inspired by the future and what could be, and you energize others with your visions for the future. So I think helping others think bigger and in the future is a skill that you bring to the table in terms of partnering with others.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think that just this dialogue is evident why it's so helpful to have someone like you help business owners and leaders truly understand their strengths, because reading it on the assessment is one thing, but then being able to talk through it with an expert like you is really helpful, and it brings some of these strengths to light.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah. Let's talk about your business a little bit, right? The work with your clients, but also how you grow and run your business. What strengths have you, or what talents, I would say, have you leaned into as strengths when it comes to growing your business?
I think one of the ones I've really had to lean into is around focus. I think prior to us working together, I'm an achiever, right? I want to get stuff done. So I come up with an idea and I would go execute. And I've really had to learn how to, and I want to cautiously say slow down, because it's not slow down and not take action, but slow down and evaluate, is now the right time to do this? Does this initiative align with the bigger picture? You know, and I think being able to add this focus has helped our team move forward quicker, if that makes sense, because we're not just focused on a bunch of jumbled things, but we're a bit clearer on our priorities. And this shows up in our quarterly team meetings. This shows up in being intentional about what offers we're promoting and when we're promoting them and why we're promoting them. And so I think focus has been a big one that I've definitely had to lean into in order to continue growing in my business.
Absolutely. I want to touch on real quickly, still in your top 10, but this learner talent that you have, as well as communication. And I'd mentioned it a little bit before as we talked about your podcast, but you know, this learner theme, it falls under the strategic thinking domain, but you have a great desire to learn and want to continuously improve all the time. So that process of learning rather than the outcome really is energizing and exciting to you. And so you're constantly consuming information and wanting to learn and get better. But in addition to that, you have this beautiful talent of communication and being able to simplify and articulate the things that you're learning to others. Maybe it's that teacher in you back when you were a kid, but being able to communicate that in a way where it helps others learn along the way. I think that's just such a valuable talent that you have. And we're so lucky that you bring that to the podcast.
Oh, thanks. And as we're unpacking these talents, it's kind of helping me understand why I made some of the decisions I made. I was a communication major in college. I actually have a master's in communication. So there, I loved learning. I kept going to school. Most of my friends went out and started working. I stayed in school. Sure. And even today, I'm constantly listening to podcasts or I'm reading books. And so I think that not only, you know, through this dialogue have I just been able to better understand how my strengths are showing up in business, but it also helps me understand why I make some of the decisions I do and why maybe other people aren't the same way or are not making the same decisions. So I think that's been really helpful. And it makes me wonder too, do our strengths evolve over time, or are they relatively fixed?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think research would show that your core talents remain fairly steady, but how you express them may evolve as you grow. You know, I took this twice, probably 20 years ago was the first time I took it. And then I took it again. And my top 10 were pretty much the same. The order changed a little bit, but again, they remain pretty steady. But like I said, how you express them can evolve. So take someone with communication, for example, we'll just play off that. Yeah. They might start out loving public speaking, but over time, that strength could become storytelling for marketing or client relationships. And so again, it's that evolution of how that strength's applied in different ways is how it would evolve, not necessarily like, does it change, right? Do your Does your 34 talent become your top one? Unlikely. Again, it's pretty set. I think the key is staying curious and asking yourself, how is this strength serving me today? And how can I use it in new creative ways?
Yeah. Well, that curiosity serves us well in so many areas of our life and our business, and being able to ask those thoughtful reflection questions can be really, really helpful. Can we as business owners use our strengths to scale more efficiently?
Yes, I think absolutely. So I would say start by aligning your business model, or for some of you, it may be a role that you're in, with your energy and natural style. If you're high on influencing, you might love front-facing work like workshops or events. If you're deep in strategic thinking, you might thrive in a more slower or more reflective pace. And then delegate the rest, right? Yeah. It's not always possible to delegate everything, but know what drains you. Find people whose strengths live there, and that's how you grow sustainably. So when you're thinking about, you know, the word scale, I think of growth, but growing in the right way. And again, it's about surrounding yourself with complementary talents so that you can really focus on what you do best.
You know, I remember as we have talked about how I want to grow my business, you helped me understand there's exponential growth, and then there's also incremental growth, which can tend to be a bit more sustainable. And of course, Lindsay, the achiever in me is like, exponential growth. And what you've helped me understand is it's not that one is good or bad, right? There are pros and cons to each of them, but incremental growth feels a bit better for what I want in terms of, you know, simplicity, and it allows our systems and our processes to catch up. So I think that knowing these strengths, it helps us understand a better direction and how we want to grow our businesses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, have there been any habits or routines that have been most critical to you on your journey to elite achievement?
Yeah. I think so. I think I love this question, and one I ask others frequently, but I should probably reflect on more. To me, habits are consistent, right? Consistently evolving from one season to the next. And what has been consistent as I think about the past few years for me is movement and mindfulness. Those are really big for me, right? Walking, running, yoga, just helping me move my body. They help me process information and stay grounded. But I think equally important, I guess, self-awareness, right? Regularly checking in to make sure I'm leading in alignment with my strengths, intentional reflection, which is something, Kristen, you practice yourself and with your clients, but what's working, what needs to shift, surrounding myself with complementary thinkers. You know, I don't want a team full of me, and I want people who can give me other ideas and think about things differently. And then I think the last thing would just be that staying curious, which we've mentioned before, but always learning, always refining, you know, this world of AI and ChatGPT, we've talked about that several times. So staying curious of what the possibilities could be with technology, partnering with other organizations, partnering with other coaches. I think just having an open mind has been a consistent habit that I've had that has helped me in my business.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful reminder. We all probably could benefit from having an open mind more often. Mm-hmm. So if our listeners want to learn more about you, the work that you do, or to get started with the Clifton Strengths, where can they go?
Yeah, if you're ready to dive into Clifton Strengths yourself and you're listening, you can take the assessment through Gallup.com. We can maybe put the link in the show notes, or I can send an email out. The assessment itself is around $60 for the full Clifton 34 report. I have a $10 off coupon for listeners if you want to reach out for that. But this is, again, it's not my intellectual property. Anyone can go and take the assessment. So if you're a leader looking to learn more about your strengths, or you're interested in a strengths-based conversation for your team, or planning ahead for a team building workshop, I'd love to connect. Whether it's in person or virtual, I can create a tailored experience for you and your team. You can find me on LinkedIn at Lindsay M. Schmidt, or you can visit my website at righthandconsultants.net.
Lindsay, thank you so much for saying yes to coming on the podcast today. And
thank you for asking me.
You're very welcome. I'm so glad that we were able to have this conversation and help leaders shift the narrative around focusing more on their strengths.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kristen. I appreciate it. This was fun.
If this conversation inspired you to think differently about your strengths, your leadership, or the way you're growing your business, this is your opportunity to turn that clarity into action. While Clifton Strengths is a powerful tool for deepening self-awareness, a fall leadership planning day helps you take the next step, aligning your team, setting clear goals, and entering the new year with renewed momentum. I'm currently booking fall leadership planning days for businesses and teams that want to step out of the day-to-day and make confident, focused decisions toward their vision for the year ahead. Past clients have shared feedback like, "I left the planning day feeling like a weight was lifted and energized about the future. And the clarity around priorities helped me move forward faster." If you're ready to lead with more purpose and have a clear, actionable plan for the year ahead, I'd love to connect. You can email me at meet@kristenburke.com or check out the show notes to learn more. Until next time, elite achievers, celebrate your wins, reflect on your lessons, and consistently show up with the mindset and habits that will elevate your success. Remember, progress is made one step at a time. By listening to today's episode, you've taken an important step toward achieving remarkable results. If you're ready to continue your journey, visit my website, kristenburke.com, for resources, tools, and strategies designed to help you experience elite achievement. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode, and let's keep embracing the mindset, effort, and values that drive consistent elite performance. Thank you for listening.